Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today I have Jacqueline Hayes on the show. She is the host of the Live Abundantly podcast, and she's wonderful. She has a heart for the Lord, and I can't wait for y'all to hear what she has to say about living abundantly. Jacqueline, thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Lexi, thanks for having me.
Yes. So first and foremost, why are you passionate about abundance and God's abundance?
Well, that is a lot. But I think that, you know, growing up, the Lord has always been part of my life. And though it changed from just believing in God to actually having a relationship with Him and with Jesus, I think that after that, I just felt like He was continuing to call me and to pursue me. And therefore, I wanted to do whatever I could to advance the kingdom. And though He doesn't necessarily need us, He still calls us and chooses us. And so I wanted to be obedient in that. And so therefore, I just was like, you know what? The Lord can really allow so many of us and all of us to live in abundance and to have that life that, you know, we can't even dream or imagine. And how cool would it be if I got to share the gospel and to share my heart about the Lord to, you know, whether they're believers and they just need encouragement or they don't know the Lord yet, but whatever it be, just to use the abundance as His platform to allow me to just speak into.
That is phenomenal. And it reminds me of a quote that I heard that said, every single person on earth is walking in the truth of whether they believe God loves them or not. And I think that when you see people that are super filled with joy, super filled with the Holy Spirit, they are living in abundance because they know God's love for them. And so that is a beautiful picture, is the foundation of your faith and the way that you share it is through this abundance mentality. So tell us a little bit more about you personally. Where do you live? What do you do? Tell us about your podcast and your Pinterest teaching and coaching and anything else you want to share.
Yeah. So I am born and raised in Columbus, Ohio, and obviously we're still here. And I've been married for, it will be 6 years, May 2019, which just seems a little crazy. We have two kids. They are currently 3 and 2, and I stay home with them. And so I never actually wanted to be a stay-at-home mom when, like, before we had kids, and I actually always envisioned myself owning my own business. So once my son was born, I actually decided that the only thing in life I really wanted was to be with him. And I didn't want to put him in daycare. There was just a part of my heart that was, you know, shredded when I knew that I was going to have to find a babysitter at the time. And so I did a lot of, I did like network marketing. And so that really did allow me to, you know, replace the income that I was making and to stay home with him. And then that, you know, changed into a different passion. And now I actually do Pinterest strategy, marketing, and managing, and then also host the Live Abundantly podcast, like you had said. And so I get to do all of that while I stay home with both of my kids. And I'm sure the seasons of life will change, but currently it's a little chaotic trying to manage it all, but it's really, really fun. And so that's kind of what I do, and absolutely love it.
That is fantastic. And I love that we got to connect over Instagram, how I've met other podcasters. And it's just so fun as believers, as women who are trying to encourage and inspire other women, that we can kind of connect with one another. So I'm super thankful for this connection and can't wait to see what God has in store for us. So how can the abundance mindset help us with our faith and generosity and not comparing ourselves to others?
Oh man, such a great question. So having abundance is like knowing that there is more. And so basically, like, if you look at the definition, it's like going to say something like a large quantity of something or something along those lines that is just of more. And so when we look at it through the Bible and what Jesus actually meant for it, it's living with more, but exceedingly, like, beyond measure, like that we cannot even fathom what it really is. And so I think when it comes to faith and, you know, not comparing ourselves, we really have to focus on knowing that God is more, and that it doesn't matter like what so-and-so looks like compared to you, or how their business is compared to you, or what they're doing compared to you, because you are put here for your own path because he has a plan for you. And I think that by, you know, really focusing and trusting that you're following the abundance for him is really, really important. And so I think that can also then tie into like being able to be generous, because, you know, as we're living with this abundance mindset, and that whatever we are doing and getting from the Lord is going to be exceedingly more, that we can become more generous by giving more than we ever thought. Or, and you know, that's not necessarily talking about finances, but, you know, like opening our home, or going grocery shopping for somebody, or taking their kids and watching them for 2 hours so that the mom can have 2 hours alone. You know, I think that it's not, a lot of times we hear it being generous, and it's, well, how much money do you give to your church, or how much money do you give to this nonprofit? And I don't want it to be that way when it, yeah, of course, definitely give and be generous in that. But think of the other things, and, you know, like, how can you serve your neighbor? And, you know, I think that's just really cool when you think about it in practical terms of like, this is how I'm going to be able to grow my faith, is by being generous and to not compare myself, because it doesn't matter what they do. And I think that's really important with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you talked about time and generosity going hand in hand. And I think that the funny thing and the ironic thing about that is, if we only think of generosity in a kind of monetization thought, or money, or giving financially, then that is actually not an abundance mentality, because we have time and we have talents to offer. And so I love the emphasis on time. And I think that the opposite is true, is when we have a scarcity mentality about our time, and we don't believe, oh, I couldn't possibly pick up groceries for my girlfriend because I don't even have time to get groceries for myself. That is scarcity. And the root word of scarcity is scare, which is fear. And I get so fired up about speaking about this, because I think as women, we can often fall into the trap that we aren't enough, we don't have enough, we'll never be enough. And so how do you speak to the hearts of women who are kind of in that scarcity mentality, and how do you encourage them to live in abundance?
Oh gosh, yes. So many times we feel like we are not worthy and not enough. And oh, it just breaks my heart when people feel that way. And granted, I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I definitely have moments, but something that has been really, really powerful is to just, you know, say affirmations. And I know that can sound so cheesy at times, but when you're really down and you're like, I am not worthy, I'm not going to be able to do this, I'm not, and you're just putting all of this negative, you're missing out on the abundance. And so for that, like, for example, one of the verses that comes to mind all the time recently, and obviously it's totally a God thing that it's like completely coming back to me, but it's John 10:10, and it just says that the thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. And I think that when we are focusing so much on us, that fear, that scarcity creeps in, and we allow it to take over. Where if we are actually pouring into ourselves and spending time with the Lord and really digging into scripture, we're going to understand that the only way that we can accept and receive this abundant life is to accept Him as our Savior. And by being able to do that, then that's going to help change your mentality, your, you know, take away some of that fear. And when those start creeping in, be like, you know what? No, I am worthy. I am valued. I am cherished. I am loved, because Jesus tells us that.
That is beautiful. I often think about, when it comes to this abundance mentality, I think that some people might mistaken it for the prosperity gospel, which I think that there are two types of wrong gospel teachings. One is the prosperity gospel and one is the poverty gospel. So some people believe that if we follow Jesus, we will have everything we've ever wanted, and He will take care of our needs, and He will supply all the money. He will make us rich, in fact, and then we will just become richer and richer and richer. And there are certain televangelists that love that story. They love to get people hyped up about that, because of course, who doesn't want to hear God wants you to have money? God wants you to have the car that you want. God wants you to have the house that you want. That is just not true. That's not what we see in the scripture. We see trials being a big part of our Christian faith and our Christian testimony. But then there's this other side that is the poverty gospel. And it says, because I'm a Christian, I should have not. And I shouldn't have anything. I shouldn't be able to drive a nice car because I'm one of the least of these, or I shouldn't be able to spend money on a massage or a nice haircut because that is, you know, that's just over the top and that is too much, and God wouldn't want me to do that. So how do you personally balance these two opposing views, these two very different, what they call the prosperity and the poverty gospel, and actually present the true gospel in a way that just says, speaks truth over what Jesus actually means when He is talking about abundance?
Yeah, and that's a great, great point. And I think it just goes back to, you really have to study what the Bible actually says and to take it for what it actually says, instead of looking into these other options that people are promoting and preaching that they may or may not actually understand what the true meaning of that verse or that scripture is. And so I think that, you know, first and foremost, I think that abundance is spiritual and not material. And so, just like you said, you know, we get caught up in these like money, 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 this, you know, all of these things. And I think that that is just, yeah. So Ecclesiastes 5:10 actually says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. And I think that is just, you know, it just goes hand in hand with this question, because it's not about the money. And, you know, before, when you had asked about scarcity and the fear and being generous, and I don't, you know, go to necessarily being able to give money to a church even. And again, I think that is important, but that's not what we're going after. We're going after being filled and being full of joy. And like, how do you feel when you help out a friend, or you take something to new neighbors and you're like, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. You know, I think that has more to give us, and that allows us to actually be personable. And, you know, Jesus wants that relationship with us. He's not asking us to buy Him things or for us to buy things from Him. He freely gives it to us. And I think that we get so caught up in, well, we need this and we need to buy this, and because I bought this really expensive thing, that shows how much abundance I have. And that is just not the case. It's, hey, I actually want to be your friend, and I want to spend time with you, and I want to be generous in the fact that, you know, if my house is a disaster, you can still come in. And I think that, you know, we look at it as like this huge thing, and we forget the tiny things that really make up the big things.
That's great. I love that, the just welcoming people into our home. That's a part of an abundance mentality, and saying like, it doesn't matter if your house is a wreck, like, do life with people. And so abundance kind of you know, it filters into everything. It filters into our friendships, the way that we serve others, the way that we look at our family, the way that we look at our finances. So what is maybe a personal story of yours where God's really met you and really grabbed your heart in this abundance mindset?
Oh man, I think that like through the trials, I feel like we find him a lot. And James 1:2 is, I know I keep quoting scripture on you, but it's like James 1:2 talks about persevering through the trials. And I just, he's like, that one just really, really, really gets me almost every time because it talks about like that we are going to have those trials and temptations. And it specifically says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And I think that is just really huge because it goes along with the abundance. And, you know, I don't think it doesn't matter, you know, when my husband and I are going through a really rough time. And a few years ago before, you know, going through the whole transition of leaving a job into network marketing, trusting that was really okay, it was scary. And at that point in time, I think that, you know, it was a money focus for us, because not because we needed to have all of the things, but because we needed to be able to pay the bills. And so I think that was really a time where the Lord was like, hey, look, stop focusing on the money. I am going to provide for you, and I'm going to give you so much more than you can even imagine. And through that time, my husband had a job promotion. He provided in different ways. I was able to really expand that network marketing company, and to really just grow that. And we didn't have to worry. And I think that, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, a lot of times money is the thing for a lot of people. And even though in the Bible, it says not to focus on that, that's what people do focus on. And it becomes idols for a lot of people. But that's a place for us that, you know, as newlyweds and new parents, you're kind of stressed out. Are we going to be able to take care of this baby? What are we going to feed this baby? You know, all these things as they're growing up. And I think that's really important to just understand that through it all, it's consider it joy, because we're going to go through those trials, and that just because we go through those trials, that doesn't mean that the Lord is taking away the abundance in our life.
That is such a good reminder. I think that so often we can ride the waves with Jesus and we're like, yeah, Jesus, when we have everything we've ever wanted. But when he takes it away from us, sometimes it's refining, but it doesn't mean that the abundance is gone. That's a beautiful kind of picture of his love for us. It still remains abundant, even when it's a tough trial. I kind of think back to a few years back when I spent some time in South Africa after a really tough season, and was doing some missions work, and just really felt like God was kind of reclaiming my identity in him through joy. And that was kind of the theme. And I feel like my whole life being a type A person, not so much now because of that trip, but I was really type A, and I just was very, which just basically is another word for controlling. And I was really, really controlling, and I was super happy when life went my way. And if life did not go my way and I faced trials, I was devastated and I was like a wrecking ball and wanting to take everyone down with me. So, it was just a season where God was like, joy is consistent. Happiness is not consistent. If we're striving for happiness, we are going to feel let down every single time, because happiness is sometimes a selfish ambition, whereas joy is the abundance. And he just totally transformed my heart in that season. And it was just such an amazing time with him and learning about what he had for me, apart from kind of, this is who you've always been, but I have something better. And that, I think, is just the true mark of abundance, is like, here's where you've been, and here's the mindset that you used to have. But when you follow me, you will see freedom. And I think that that's a word that we haven't used a lot in this episode with abundance, and those things go hand in hand. So tell us a little bit about freedom and how the freedom that we have in Christ can also be a part of this kind of adopting this abundance mentality.
Yeah, that's a great question. And Jesus, like, I mean, I just go back when I think of freedom is, you know, I just think of completely thinking of the gospel and how Jesus was sent here to live that perfect life and then to die for us. And he literally took our place on the cross to die for that, our sin. And then he rose again. And so he's alive and active. And because of that, we are free. And I think that just kind of goes, you know, hand in hand, like you said, with abundance, because it allows us to know that even though we are going to sin and that we are going to fall short every single time, that we still get to have the abundance he has created for us because he died for us. And we have that freedom to be able to know and to then go continue to seek him and to share the truth with other people. And I think that is just really important because, you know, I don't necessarily always use the word freedom because I use so much of the words that, like, the abundance and the joy. Hmm. And it's still, it's just, I guess they all go hand in hand, you know, and it's just, oh gosh. Like it just means so much to me. I get so like tongue tied sometimes because I'm like, I just wish everybody understood that the freedom that they could have, that they don't have to be, you know, I made a bad choice and so therefore I can't do anything about it. No, you are already forgiven even though you made that bad choice, and Jesus meets us where we're at. So he doesn't, you know, wait for us to clean up and to do all of these things so that we can have a relationship with him and to have that abundance. Instead, he says, hey, look, you are free right now, where you are in life, wherever it is, you are free right now when you come to me and I have this abundance life for you.
I love it. I love your passion for abundance and I love your passion for Jesus and just your knowledge on the scripture, I think, is so important. So often we can claim to be followers of Jesus, but we aren't in the word. And so I think that's a big part of his ask of us is just to spend time with him. And we will, I think the more we spend time with him, the more we'll know we're loved, the more we'll know our purpose, the more we'll know how much he just adores us. And so I love that you come from that place and that you are an example of someone who is walking in the love that you know that he loves you and that he has good things for you. And so as we kind of close, what are you most looking forward to in this season of life?
Oh man. So I have, like I said at the beginning, a 3 and 2 year old, and it has really just been fun to watch them learn who they are, learn their personalities, whether that means we have, you know, days full of attitudes or days full of sweetness, just to really enjoy those moments. But in this next season, I'm just really looking forward to continuing to be able to spend time with them and to watch them continue to develop and to be mom and to be business owner and to be wife and to continue to grow and to teach them things. And right now it's been really fun to start talking about Jesus and to tell them about it. And during the Easter season, it was so fun to watch my 3-year-old be like, well, why are we going to church on a Friday night? Because we happened to go to a Good Friday service this year. And, you know, because, you know, we're going to go learn about how Jesus died for us and what that means. And he's like, okay. And, you know, then we tell him, because on Sunday, you know, 3 days later, Jesus rose again. And so on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, he had said, he goes, hey, we're going to church. Does that mean Jesus is alive?
Yay. And
yeah. And so it was just this season of like them just knowing and learning has been so fun. And so I'm excited for, you know, summer, fall, and into winter to just continue to see where they and how they develop.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Easter is my favorite holiday. And so just hearing that story just warms my heart. It's like he gets it. And kids are amazing. And I think that sometimes they're more spiritually attuned than we are because we get so distracted with what's happening in life. And so it's so fun to watch young ones experience the gospel through kind of their lens of the world and just reteach us to have a childlike faith. It's a beautiful thing. Well, Jacqueline, thank you so much for being on the show. It has been such a pleasure to chat with you, and I hope this message in this podcast episode blesses many.
Yeah, thank you so much again for having me, Lexi. I've really enjoyed being on this.
Yay. Well, ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You are created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His glory. So go be His hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.